Tonight our speaker is one whose influence in my own life and a lot of us ministers here in the Southern Missouri District has had a wonderful effect upon our service to the Lord and what we believe God for. Brother Moore has been a steadying influence in the Assemblies of God of the Southern Missouri District. Of course, as pastor, he led the church into great progress. His last pastorate was Oak Grove Assembly here in Springfield for over 7 years, but for about 12 years, secretary treasurer of our district here, and then for about 8 years, the superintendent, the district superintendent. So for the last 26 years, presbytery boards and serving the Lord faithfully, and he and Miss Shirley have been an inspiration to us in the Southern Missouri District. So I wanted to bring those personal comments to you tonight as Brother Moore comes. Brother Moore, please come now and bring to us the word of the Lord, and know that we are grateful for your faithfulness here in Central Assembly. God bless you. Would you like to greet him with your appreciation tonight?
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor, and it is an honor for me to bring the word this evening. In fact, in 1984, when we went into the district office and left the church at Oak Grove, we joined Central Assembly at that time immediately, and Pastor Wanamaker was a pastor at that time, so we've been a part of this congregation ever since. I wanted to say that the Larsons are our neighbors, and we've been out there 24 years. I don't know how long they've been there, but they were there when we got there. So I appreciated their ministry so very, very much. Tonight, I want to share just a very simple message. It's about all I know how to preach are simple messages. Quite a bit of scripture that is in the Word tonight. And in light of all of the prayer requests, of course, that we've had tonight and, of course, in the past weeks as well, and the needs that are here in this congregation in a lot of our lives, this message was impressed upon my heart, and I trust it'll be of a blessing to your heart and life this evening. And if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, a very familiar passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And I'd like to read the first two verses, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 8. And would you mind standing one more time just for the reading of the Word, and then we'll have prayer, and then you may be seated. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1, "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." And then the next few verses basically shares what he did. And down to verse 8, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000. And out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000 or 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. But help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. And then verse 12, "So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." Lord, we thank you again for your word this evening and for your presence that we have felt manifested throughout the service this evening. Thank you for the prayer time and time of worship and praise, and for the time just simply to gather together with your people. We ask now that you would take your word and certainly anoint our hearts with it. And God, would you help us to see the truths of your word tonight, but not only help us to see them, but perhaps even more importantly, or as important, help us to apply them to our lives as we may have need of them tonight. And Lord, anoint this thy servant that everything that we shall say shall be said first of all for your glory and your honor, but also for the uplifting and the strengthening and the encouragement and the challenging of the saints. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Talking to you for a while tonight about the pressure of life and the peace of God. The pressure of life and the peace of God. The Bible is full of tremendous stories like the one we have just read, containing wonderful truths to help us and to encourage us throughout our Christian walk in this life. And God has seen fit through his divine wisdom to place all of the pieces together so that we might have them, that we might read and meditate upon them and hide them in our hearts today. And here we have a scene just before a great battle. The scripture in verse 10 says that they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. And from all indications, Asa had found himself a place where he could seek God. The chronicler tells us that Asa cried, or he called unto the Lord his God. Now, we are not told how long he cried unto the Lord. However, it must have been for some time. No doubt he was wondering what was going to happen. He needed some answers. Certainly, he needed some help. And at some point during that prayer, as I read this, and God doesn't tell us everything in his word. It kind of leaves us some room for our imagination. And I kind of like to use my imagination at times and kind of hopefully fill in the blanks that was not fully explained to us. But at some point during this prayer, I sensed that something wonderful happened. A great peace came into Asa's heart to the point that he could say, O Lord our God. And I can kind of hear his voice as being calm and steady at this particular time. He says, we rest on thee, and in thy name, he says, we go against this multitude. Then all indications, he arose and went out, gave the signal for the attack, and they went out. What a story this is. And as we read this whole story in the book of Chronicles, it's not hard to pick out the areas that perhaps would be relative to us today, even though the customs and circumstances are far different. Talks about against this multitude. And today, I believe you will recognize with me and agree with me that we have a multitude of problems today, a multitude of challenges that we face today. We face economic problems, industrial, social, international, moral, and many more that we could tie in here. And then perhaps even on a more personal level, we face so many anxieties that and simply occurs in raising our families and in earning a living. It seems that there are literally dozens of anxieties that sometimes have a tendency to paralyze our faith and to challenge our consecration. And I made comment that in raising our families, and I don't know how about you, but I found that I don't think I ever will get my family raised. I mean, I'm still meeting needs that are there, and I'm I've come to the conclusion I will continue to do that as long as I live, because now I've got my kids up. I got grandkids coming now. I got one that got married. I got one that's going to get married, and won't be too long until great-grandchildren will be, won't it, that will be coming along. So I'm sure we'll be involved there. But nevertheless, there are these challenges that we have. And in all of these, we look for an answer to help us and to minister to us right where we find ourselves at that particular time. And to some degree, I believe that Asa has the answer here in this old story in prayer. And I'd like to consider three things this evening as time will allow us. First of all, I want us to look to the source to which Asa looked to for help. Secondly, I want to look at the trust, very simple thoughts that he had in this source. Thirdly, I want to look at the spirit in which he entered the fight and he faced the enemy. First of all, the source to which he looked to for help. It's very simple. Verse 11 says that Asa cried, or NIV, I believe, says Asa called unto the Lord his God. All down through the ages of time in scriptures, there have been those who have cried unto the Lord, and God heard their cry. Exodus 2, 23 and 24 says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And the Bible says that God heard their groaning. Exodus 14 and 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Peter in Matthew 14, 30 and 31, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. You know the story. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And the scripture tells us that immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. There are literally dozens of scriptures throughout the Word of God stating times when people have cried unto the Lord and God heard their cry. How wonderful it is, folks, today, still in this hour that we are living in today, that we are still able to cry unto the Lord, and God still hears our cry. He still hears our call. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Even in the last several weeks, so many have entered into some real battles in their lives. And even tonight in our prayer request and our times of prayer, as we gathered together in small groups and focused upon various ones, we recognize that there are so many that have entered into some tremendous challenges, and many of them being financial and spiritual and physical, and some of them, I'm sure, all of the above. But there are challenges that people are facing today. And I don't know about you, but over the years, I have found there have been times when I have lacked the words that I would like to share to help encourage them and to strengthen them. And I've found myself just not feeling adequate to do that, but I have always recognized and thankful because of the Word of God. I say that God, if you could just cry unto the Lord, if you will just call out unto the Lord in your times of need, God will hear your cry and will come to your aid. Amen? He will do that. Matthew 11, 28, he tells us to come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, and I will give you rest. I am thankful this evening that I can tell you and proclaim that God will help us. Four times in the New Testament, especially in the King James, the three words "He is able" is used. Now, it's a whole sermon, and we're not going to go there tonight, but I'd like to give them to you very quickly. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor or to come to the aid of them who are tempted." 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So the Word of God tells us he's able to save, that he's able to come to our aid. He is able to keep. He is able to subdue, or the NIV, I think, says, bring everything under his control. If God is able to do all of these things, why not cry unto him? Why not call out unto him? Because God is able to do it. Secondly, we notice that he trusted in God's power. Verse 11 simply says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power." The NIV simply says, "There is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty." In so many words, I really believe that Asa was simply reaffirming his faith and his trust in God, saying that it really didn't matter how much or how many they were outnumbered. It really didn't matter what the circumstances were, for their faith and their trust was not in the circumstances. Oh, how many times do we need to learn that? Was not in the circumstances, but his faith and his trust was in God, who could at any moment of time come and change the circumstances. I've thought many, many times how easy it is to forget the resources that we have in God. We have a tendency many times to look more at what we don't have rather than what we do have. And a great example from the Word of God would be at the time of the feeding of the multitude. Now, you know the story as well as I do tonight. But there had been the great multitude that had followed the Lord out, and he had ministered to them. But the scripture tells us that along toward evening that the disciples came to the Lord and said to him, "Let's send them away so they can go into the villages and the various places and buy food for themselves." But the Lord said in so many words, he said, let's feed them with what we have. Let's check our own resources. Let's find out what we do have. And according to the word, undoubtedly, Andrew brings a little lad, a little small boy, and says, "Lord, well, here's a little lad, and he's got five loaves and two fish." And if I read his scriptures correctly, immediately there was a negative reaction. Now, very quickly, I want to tell you tonight that I want to be very slow in judging this, because I know if I would have been there at that very moment of time, my reaction would have been exactly the same as theirs. It wouldn't have been any different. I would have said along with them, yes, there's some resources. Yes, there's 5 loaves and the 2 fish, but there are 5,000 men besides the women and children. What is that among so many? And often that is our human response. We start thinking negatively about our problems. We cling to our doubts instead of our faith. We see our difficulties instead of our opportunities. But Jesus said, there are some resources. Let's find out what they are. And when they found out what they were, they presented them to him, and they were adequate to meet the need. Every once in a while, I like to pause and identify the resources that I have, that we have, to deal with the challenges of life. I find that, first of all, I have the Lord Jesus Christ that reached down to this little boy when I was little in a storefront building in a little town of California, Missouri, on the square. Not even there any longer. But he found this young boy and came into my heart and life. And my life has never been the same. I found that I have the gift of the Holy Spirit, or in those days, the Holy Ghost. Feel me lying flat on my back in that old storefront building, hands raised, and I wore everybody else out but my mother and the blind lady that stayed with me until I came through speaking in another language. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I have the Word of God that tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. It's going to remain forever and ever and ever. It has never changed, and it never will change. I've found that I have a lot of wonderful Christians that I attend church with, that comes alongside and encourages, and just a word of encouragement. And I get to see them every Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying church. I enjoy the Wednesday night service. Brother Hubert leads us in such a wonderful way. Wonderful times of prayer. I am thrilled with our new pastor as he takes the Word of God and he breaks it where I can understand it. I mean, he is doing a wonderful, wonderful job. I'm enjoying it. Sunday night coming back with some good teaching, and we've been building a wall. If you are not here on Sunday night, you're missing something. God is blessing us. But we have all of these helps that comes alongside of us, that if I'm understanding it correctly, that God has given me everything that I need to stay faithful to God if I want to stay faithful to God. There's not enough devils in hell to pull me away if I want to hang on to what God has given me, the resources that He has given me. I'm so thankful, I'm so grateful for each of these. Simply want to say that God's resources are adequate for whatever it is that we find ourselves going through. His ability and power to help us gain victory regardless of the circumstances. Gideon against the Midianites, you know the story. Started with 32,000, was reduced to 10, down to 300.
But God gave them the victory. David slew the giant with a sling and a stone. The three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. God delivered them. When the children of Israel were trapped at the Red Sea, God made a way for them to cross. At flood stage of the Jordan, God piled high the waters and made a way for them to cross. Friend, I don't know where you may be at in life. I don't know what challenges you may be facing. But I know that God's resources are adequate. And if you will just hold on to them and have faith and trust in Him, God will see you through wherever you may be at this moment of time. Amen? Amen. He'll do it. Thirdly, I'd like to look at the spirit in which he entered the fight and faced the enemy. In verse 11, we read the words where he says, "Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest or we rely on you. And in thy name," he says, "we go against this multitude." In the original text, they tell us that the meaning of this word rest, it simply meant to support oneself, to lean, to rely, to rest, and to stay. He was simply reflecting, I believe, again, what he felt in his heart as he sensed the peace of God in the midst of the conflict. Now understand that the enemy was still there. Victory had not been wrought yet. But in his heart, in his soul, there was a faith, there was a trust. He was simply saying that our confidence is not in us. It's not in our ability. But God, it is in you. And he says, we're going to go. But we're going to go in your name. And we're going to go in your power. Our reliance is on you. We used to use a term a lot, and I still hear it every once in a while, but they prayed through. I really believe that Asa had found that place where he had prayed through. The enemy was still there, but he knew God was going to minister. God was going to lead them. God was going to help them. God was going to give them the victory. And this evening, my prayer is that God will help each one of us, myself included, find that same place in God that Asa had found as we too go on in life, regardless of where life may lead us. May we too go in his name, resting and relying upon him. And again, I can, in my mind's eye tonight, I can hear him cry, "Oh Lord our God, we rest, we rely on you. And it's in your name we go against this multitude." The word tells us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. One last thought in conclusion. Asa makes a statement in verse 11 where he says, "O Lord, thou art our God." I want to remind us this evening that he is still our God today. The scripture tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The story gives us three practical truths to help us. First of all, the scripture tells us that we can look to God for help. He tells us in this story that we can trust in God's power. And he tells us in this story that we can rest, or we can rely, or we can depend upon his word and upon his scriptures. In my mind's eye tonight, I go back a lot of years, and I thought of this evening. I can still see my mother on her knees before God. Even though she left us in 1969, so she's been gone a lot of years. But there's some things, you know, that just is there. And this is there. I can see her as many times I have bounced in through our house. We had an old house that you had to go from one room to get to another room to get to another room. We didn't have a hallway. And so Mom, she'd turn her hearing aid off, and she'd get in one of those rooms and down on her knees, and that was her closet of prayer. And I can still see her as I would catch her sometime as I'd come in after school, down on her knees on that old bed with her finger on a particular scripture, basically stating, God, this is your promise. This is your word. I am depending upon that. She didn't have to remind God, and that's what wasn't what she was saying at all. Wasn't having to remind him of what he said, but this was her way of saying, God, this is the promise I am relying on to take me through. Mom didn't have it easy. Dad wasn't serving God. He didn't make it easy for her. But she believed in the promises of God, and she stood on those promises. May God help us to stand on them. Oh, yes, we have the pressures of life. There are pressures. But I want us to be reminded there is a peace of God that God gives us in the midst of the pressures that will help us, that will lead us, and will direct us. Would you stand with me, please? Could we, just before Hubert leads us in a final chorus, just lift our hands and unto the Lord and make an altar right where we are tonight standing? And could we just reaffirm our faith and our trust and in his promises and in his love and in his goodness unto us, Lord? Father, this evening we too rely upon your promises. Oh God, may we say tonight along with Asa, oh Lord our God, we rest on thee, Lord. We rely upon you, Lord. Oh, our faith and our trust is not upon the circumstances, but God, they are upon you, oh Lord, tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these old stories that we can read and meditate upon and hide these truths in our hearts and in our lives, that we might be encouraged, that we might be strengthened. Thank you, Lord.